Malachi chapter 4. I do want to welcome all of you that are visiting tonight. Got a couple of brown families with us tonight, and we've got some Lindsays with us tonight. We're glad to have them. We got Rose and Stephen with us tonight. Got Christian and Kayleen with us tonight. And we've got Miss Lou. All right. Well, it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. I'm glad that I know Labor Day is tomorrow. We've also got some that are on vacation and out different places today as well. So Malachi chapter 4, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. I'm going to preach tonight the opposite message of what I preached last week. Last week we looked at the day concerning the wicked. And tonight we're going to look at the day concerning those that fear Him. And so when we look at this chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, but we'll be focusing mostly on verse 2, a little bit on 3 tonight. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And that day cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So we look at this passage of Scripture, and tonight we are going to focus almost solely and primarily on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't go wrong with that. He is the Savior, and we're going to look at several aspects of Him in these verses tonight. Father, I pray that you would help me. Lord, there is no way that I can even properly portray exactly who Jesus is. We know that He's God. We know that He came in the flesh. We know that you died on the cross to pay for our sins. We know that there's a description here somewhat of the Lord Jesus. I pray, Father, tonight that you would help us through the Scripture and through the Holy Spirit to be able to just get a glimpse of our wonderful Savior this very evening. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I do want to remind you the book of Malachi is in the Old Testament, is written primarily to the Jews. This is written in the time when Jesus Christ will come again. And I'm not talking about the rapture, I'm talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ when He will come to this earth to set up His kingdom. And He says this at that time, "But unto you that fear my name." And we've looked at that, but what a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord and to walk in the fear of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need wisdom from God. And therefore, we need the fear of the Lord because that's where it all begins. And that's why we look at our nation and we look and say, how in the world can people make the choices they make? They make those choices because there's no fear of God. They make those choices because there's no wisdom. And that you see in this day and age just an absolute absence of wisdom. And we need to be people of the book. And we need to be people of the fear of the Lord because that's where wisdom comes from and that's where we're going to get it. And so looking at Jesus Christ tonight, I want to first look at Him concerning the root. Now, He said He's going to leave neither root nor branch. But Jesus Christ throughout the Bible is called the capital R root. Turn to Isaiah 53 and verse 2. And we're going to follow through several passages of Scripture and look at Jesus Christ, the root, and see what that means to us. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, we know that this is a passage, a prophetic passage concerning Jesus Christ. And it says in verse 2, it says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." Jesus Christ looked to be an average Jewish person. There was no beauty. There was nothing specific about him. He did not have blonde hair and blue eyes. He did not have a halo around his head. He was an average looking Jewish individual, and he was God in that body. And you could say, there's nothing special about him, but there is everything special about him. He is Jesus Christ. And it talks about about that root there, and let's follow this a little bit. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. And verse 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5. And it says, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root, capital R, of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." They were looking for someone that was worthy to open the book, and they found someone of the root of David, him being the Lord Jesus Christ, in chapter 22 and verse 16. Chapter 22 and verse 16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." Make no mistake about it, what was promised to David, that the Messiah would come through his line, Jesus Christ is the root, the underlying root of David, that comes all the way to the end, the one that's worthy to open the book. Turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And if you're not used to it yet, we are going to use our Bibles tonight. You may wear it out tonight. Romans chapter 11, verse 16 through 18. "For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches." That's us. And if the root's holy, and he is, the branches are tied into the root. The root should also make the branches holy. Now, verse 17 says, "And if some of the branches be broken off," now he's talking about the name of Israel, "and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee." See, God made some promises to the nation of Israel. Every one of those promises will be fulfilled again. And we have an understanding that Israel and the church are different, and that the branches that were broken off as God made way for us, the wild olive tree, the Gentiles, to be grafted into the root and be able to come in and know Jesus Christ as our Savior and get plugged into that root and be made holy because we're tied into the root and we're grafted into a good root. Now, later on in the chapter, guess what? Okay, the Gentiles are taken out. The Jews are regrafted in, and God deals with Israel once again in the end times. And don't mistake that. There, God never just does away with Israel. He will pick them up again. He will deal with them once again. The church did not replace them. The church was grafted into the same root once again. And it's a wonderful truth. Now turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Lest you should ever try to live the Christian life on your own without the root. We'll see what happens. Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 17, it says, "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." So there's people that heard the word and it was snatched away from them. And then these, verse 16, "Are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." God speaks in parables, and I don't base my doctrine out of parables, and I'm not going to go into tonight which ones of these were saved, and which ones weren't, and which ones had life, and which ones didn't, and all of that. But there's a principle here. You better have your root in Jesus Christ. He is the root, and if you're not plugged into there, and we could go to John 15, he is the vine, we are the branches that plug into the vine, we're grafted in, the wild olive tree grafted in. It's a wonderful thing, but you are only going to make it in your Christian life if you stay attached to the root. There is no root in ourselves. Okay, if you're just a branch off of an olive tree, a wild olive tree, nonetheless. and you don't get hooked into the root Jesus Christ, you got no chance. You can't live the Christian life on your own. And if we do not abide in the vine and stay with Him and keep that relationship, or I should say that fellowship, the relationship does not break, the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have to have the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're drawing that out of the root, out of the vine, into the branches, and then it manifests itself in our lives, and that is what will keep us going in our Christian life. It's all about Him. It's not us. We'll move in Malachi. Let's run back there to Malachi chapter 4 again. And it says, verse 2, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise." The Son of Righteousness. This is S-U-N, but it's capitalized. It's talking again about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at Psalm 19, 1 through 5. We've seen Jesus, the root. It is absolutely vital that we are plugged into Him. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 1 through 5. I'm going to look a moment here at the Son. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." You look up, you see the firmament, you see what God placed in the firmament, the sun, moon, and stars. It shows the handiwork of God. Verse 2, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." Say, I didn't know anything about God. All you had to do was look up. Or look out, or look out, or look that way. All you got to do is look up and see that firmament and what God did. And it says, "Day unto day utter a speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard." God's glory is declared to every individual that was ever made on the face of the earth. All you got to do is look. And people fail to look. Verse 4 says, "Their line is gone out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun." You think about that. A tabernacle, the firmament set there for the sun to go in. "And which is as," now look at this, "a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race." Jesus Christ is described in Malachi as the Son of Righteousness. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is described as the bridegroom. He is the Son of Righteousness. And you think about this. You think of the brightness of the sun. Let's look at Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. A lot of glasses were sold a couple weeks ago, so people could look at the sun without burning their eyeballs out. And yeah, we just took a picture of it, you know. But, and I'll tell you, it was a magnificent picture. It's interesting. But you think about it, and the glasses were sold so that people could look at the sun without endangering their eyes. I'll tell you what, there's a sun that is brighter than the sun. And it is an amazing thing to think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 26 and verse 13. Acts 26 and verse 13 says this, "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me." Saul of Tarsus met the sun. He was brighter than the sun. And it blinded him for 3 days. He went and saw, was it Ananias? And he laid his hands on him and the scales fell off of his eyes. This amazing thing, what the brightness of Jesus Christ did in a moment to Saul. And Jesus Christ is the Son. Turn to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 1. And verse 16. You think about it. People want to leave the Lord Jesus Christ. Some religions want to leave Him attached to a cross. They want to leave Him bearing the shame. He bore the shame. He's not bearing it anymore. And other religions, you know, they want to put pictures around of Jesus and put him in there in his long hair. He didn't have long hair. The Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. And they put the pictures around, and it's like, why would you want to leave him in the human body when in actuality he looks like this? And we won't read the whole thing, but we will read verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Matthew 24. Jesus is coming again. He's coming to set up his kingdom. When that takes place, Matthew chapter 24. Always remember when you read the book of Matthew, it's primarily written to the Jews. We're dealing here with the coming of Jesus to set up his kingdom. We're not dealing with the rapture. Matthew 24 and verse 27 says this, "For as the light cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I believe when Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom, it's going to be bright. And you think about it. He's called there in Malachi the Son of Righteousness, and it says that he will arise. He will arise. Let's follow that just a little bit. Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. Time after time, we'll see in the Psalms, and we're going to look at just a few verses. You could continue through the Psalms and see it over and over and over again, but I'm going to give you a sampling. In Psalm chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone, thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Here is the psalmist David in this particular case saying, "Arise, O Lord, save me." We see it again in chapter 7 and verse 6. "Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded." In chapter 9 and verse 19, it says, "Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight." We're seeing time after time, as people battle the things of this earth, and the struggles that we have are the same struggles that David had with his enemies and the battles and all of just this world in general. And he's saying, "Arise, arise, arise, O Lord. Come to my aid. Come help me." He's looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 10 and verse 12, he says, "Arise, O Lord, O God, lift up thine hand. Forget not the humble." In chapter 17 and verse 13, it says, "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword." If you can understand, David is looking for the coming of the Messiah to set up his kingdom. They were looking for it. They were hoping for it. The understanding was that Jesus would come as Messiah. Now, there's all kinds of prophecy throughout the Old Testament that says when he comes the first time, and it talks about him dying on the cross, and that is portrayed especially in Isaiah 53, in Psalm chapter 22 and 23 and 24 and 25, Jesus Christ and the suffering on the cross is portrayed. But for the most part, the Jewish people were looking, they were hoping that Messiah would come and he would set up his kingdom. Well, he will. He will. He is going to come. And what they're saying is, "Arise, arise, when is the sun going to rise?" I don't know when he's going to rise, but it'll be a great sunrise when Jesus Christ comes to set up his kingdom. It'll be a great sunrise, and the Jewish people will finally, finally have their Messiah that they've been waiting for. And oh, the destruction that takes place. Last week we looked at the destruction of the wicked, and much of that describing that 7-year tribulation period of time. And then the sun will arise, and he'll be bright and shining as he comes. Turn back to Malachi. Turn back to Malachi. We look at this passage of Scripture. It says the Son of Righteousness. We saw the root was holy. We saw the Son is righteous. You know, we need to follow that in our lives. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ daily in our lives. We need the holiness of the root daily in our lives. But he says he'll arise with healing in his wings. With healing in his wings. When Jesus Christ comes, the Bible refers to the child being 100 years old. He's still referring to him as a child at 100 years old. See, the millennial kingdom is going to be different. I believe we're going back to the way it was before Adam sinned, because the second Adam will restore it back to that period of time. People will once again live to be long ages. Even the people that are on this earth that were not coming back from heaven, the people that are left physically upon this earth, there'll be healing in his wings. He'll heal the nations. He will heal individual people. And you look at this, Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35. Verse 3 through 6. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel. This is talking about the second coming. But it's also predictive of the first coming. It says, then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Now, ultimately, the final fulfillment of this is in the millennial kingdom. There's no doubt about that. But Jesus Christ came. When he came the first time to earth, he came as incarnate man. He came as Messiah. Obviously, he came to die, but he fulfilled much of this in that first coming as well. There were the eyes of the blind were healed. You've got blind Bartimaeus. You've got the ears of the deaf were opened, where he took the man and he made it so that he could hear again and caused his tongue to be loosed so that he could speak again. The lame man, one after another, they were risen up and received strength back into their legs. And the dumb were made to sing. Dumb just means they couldn't speak. They were made to sing. Jesus Christ did that. You know, Jesus is the healer. And Jesus Christ, when he was on this earth, he went about and he healed. In Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 10, verse 36 through 38. Acts 10, verse 36 through 38, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. I like the parentheses. Just a reminder, by the way, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the preaching which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing. What's the next word? All that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses. Tell you what, this poor substitute that we find in the Pentecostal movement that say, oh, I have the gift of healing. Why aren't you down at the hospital? You know, why is it that only people that come to you? Jesus went through the crowds and he healed people in the crowds. Jesus healed everybody that he came across that needed to be healed. You don't see him, oh, well, your faith's not great enough to heal you. Because the power was in Jesus Christ. And there are a couple cases where he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And they acted upon their faith that Jesus could heal him. They came out of their way to make sure they met Jesus. And he healed them. He is the healer. You think about all of this false stuff done in the name of God. It really is an abomination. It really is. There was a girl, she went out and she was all happy and excited. A preacher that I know met this girl and she was happy and excited. He says, what's going on? She says, I'm going to get healed tonight. I can't remember exactly what was wrong, but it was something in her face that needed to be healed. And she went to the healing service. Of course, they turned her away because she had a real problem. And he saw her a couple weeks later, and she was down and dejected. And he's like, well, what happened? They told me I didn't have enough faith. Hey, she did every bit as much as anybody that came to Jesus. The truth be told, the gift of healing ceased. Jesus will bring it back. He'll arise with healing in His wings. You think about it. People that are sick now, you're not going to be sick anymore. You know, this old body dies. We're under the bondage of this body for the time being. When we die, we get freed from that. When Jesus Christ raptures us, we get freed from that. Or when Jesus Christ comes again at the second coming, people will be freed. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Let's turn back to Malachi. We have a great Savior. You know, people can try to imitate. The Bible says many antichrists will arise. Look at this. The Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. A stalled ox versus a free-ranging animal. The free-ranging animal, he grows up, he has to go out, and he has to forage for himself, and he has to try to find his own food and all of that. The stalled ox, every provision is made for him. And you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's going to take the nation of Israel, and He says, I am going to provide for you completely and wholly. We can picture that in salvation. Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross, and He said, it is finished. Jesus Christ provided for us completely and wholly salvation. And you think about that, He takes care of us as the stalled ox. We aren't out there trying to work and scrape and crimp to get into heaven. We're the stalled ox. Someone told me, and it was by way of a joke, but there's a great truth in this joke. And they said, you know, the person got up to heaven and they said, you need 100 points to get in. And the person said, well, I've been married for 50 years and I was always faithful to my wife. And they told him, well, that'll be 3 points. He says, well, I went to church after I got saved. I was in church every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And, you know, and I gave to the church. He says, there's 2 more points. He says, at this rate, it's only by the grace of God that I'm going to get in. And the thing is the truth in that is phenomenal, because by the grace of God, well, there's your 100 points. It's all Jesus. He did it all. He took care of everything. And He looks at these people and the promise He gives them, you're going to grow up as calves of the stall. You're not going to have to go out there and do this on your own. We aren't trying some way through some religious way or religious purposes to go out there and try to work our way to heaven. It is provided for us with the nation of Israel. When Jesus Christ comes and sets up the kingdom once again, He will have provision. The earth will provide by way of Jesus Christ, will make it all new again. Adam and Eve went out. The earth produced. The thorns and all of the work by the sweat of the brow, it came after the sin. Now, work was still there, but the sweat of the brow and the fighting with the work and trying to provide came after the sin. He brings it back. Then verse 3, it says, ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet. In Deuteronomy 11 and verse 24, Deuteronomy 11 and verse 24, you see the promises to the nation of Israel throughout the Bible. He says here, Deuteronomy 11, chapter 11 and verse 24, every place whereupon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. He says, look, the soles of your feet, where they tread, it's going to be yours. In 1 Kings chapter 5, in 1 Kings chapter 5, in verse 3, 1 Kings chapter 5 and verse 3, thou knowest how that David my father could not build an house unto the name of the Lord his God for the wars which were about him on every side until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. And you see the promises when Jesus Christ comes again. It's coming under the soles of his feet. Turn to Micah chapter 7. Micah. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah. Chapter 7. And verse 8 through 11. Again, the prophecies given to the nation of Israel. Verse 8 through 11, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her, now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the street. See, nations, as they came in and they attacked Israel and they brought them off to foreign lands, and they would ask the question, where is your God? Where is your God? And God says, don't worry. There's a time coming. And it's going to be years. It'll be thousands of years, literally, a couple thousand at least from this time. But Jesus is coming again. He doesn't forget his promises. And you know what? As we live in this world and we strive to say, look, I want to be a biblical Christian. It's a rarity. But I want to be a biblical Christian. And people say, ah, you know, you're a Christian. Why are you laying in the hospital bed? Don't worry. Even if I die, I can't die. Hey, don't worry about it. Yeah, the physical body. You know what? You may be a lost person. You may have all the riches of this world, but God told me in Psalm 37, fret not thyself because of evildoers. He says, look, we aren't living for this world. We're living for the next one. And so when we as Christians decide, I want to be a biblical Christian, I want to have sound doctrine in my life, I want to be plugged into the root of holiness, I want the sun of righteousness to shine on and through me, I want to be the light of the world. And the world looks and says, well, you know, you're doing this, why is this going wrong, and this going wrong, and this going wrong, and this going wrong? Don't worry, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. When Jesus comes again, the root of David, the son of righteousness, will arise with healing in his wings. And he'll take care of me like the stalled ox, making every provision. And he'll do that for us. He made a promise to the nation of Israel. He'll do that for them. What a Savior. What a Savior we have. I hope tonight that you know him. And I hope tonight that you fellowship with him. You know, you think of this book right here. What a wonderful thing. The root, the Son of Righteousness, wrote you and wrote me his word. So that we could put our branch into the roots of the Word of God. He says he wants us to be rooted and grounded in the truth. He gave us his Word that we might fellowship with him. He allows us to talk to him and to come boldly to the throne of grace. Let's not waste that fellowship. Let's get connected to the root. Let's abide in the vine. Let's let the Son of Righteousness do a work in our life that we might be bright, shining Christians. It's not a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. It's fellowshipping with God in the Word of God every day. It's walking with God and doing right and choosing right and walking in the fear of the Lord on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and coming back on Sunday to get refreshed out of the Word of God to do it again. What a joy we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet.